Morning. I'm going to start by reading out of the book of John, chapter 7, verses 40 through 46. John 7, 40 through 46. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards declared. "No man ever spoke like this man does." The King James renders that phrase, "Never man spake like this man." Never man spake like this man. Now stop and think about all the great speeches you might have heard, all the men who are famous for what they've said over the years. We've got great volumes of literature. Shakespeare. You know, it always amazes me. I try not to watch too much TV, although since I retired, I watch more than I used to. But I do enjoy watching Jeopardy because you have to use your mind. You not only have to know, you not only have to come up with the answer, you got to be fast, you know. And I try to do, come up with the answers faster than the contestants and fail miserably. But there's a lot of questions about Shakespeare, and it amazes me how much these people know. Contestants on this show know about Shakespeare. You know, they give a statement and they know the play. Midsummer Night's Dream, you know, that sort of thing. And it amazes me how the words of men stick with people and how they know that. Think of Martin Luther, okay? Think of some of the people that you remember by what they've said. Now, Martin Luther, you don't necessarily remember what he said word for word, but what did he say? He railed against the Catholic Church. He posted his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Railing against the Catholic Church. And what's the significance of that? If you delve into that, over and over, you'll read by historians that that's the start of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther's 95 theses were the start of the Protestant Reformation. And more contemporary, Abraham Lincoln, 47 years ago. Is that what comes to your mind when you think of Abraham Lincoln? And the Emancipation Proclamation and the Gettysburg Address, you know, 47 years ago. Even more contemporary, Winston Churchill. Remember what Winston Churchill, what's he famous for? "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." He helped get England through World War II. Okay? Martin Luther King. What's he famous for? What's his saying? "I have a dream." Right? Civil rights movement. John Kennedy. I'm not a Kennedy fan. I've read a lot of history on him. I wasn't a Kennedy fan, but he's remembered for certain one thing he said. You remember what it was? That's right. "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Great words remembered by men. We have great words in the Bible. If you look up some of the things that are written about as far as good rhetoric, good words from the Bible, one of the things that comes up is Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy. He's talking to the children of Israel, and he says, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments I speak in your ears today." Then he goes on and he says, "Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God." Then he goes on and he says, and thou shalt do, and thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So his words to the Jewish people. Another passage that comes up is Paul's defense before Agrippa in the 26th chapter of Acts. And he says, I think myself happy because I shall answer for myself this day before thee. I'm happy to defend myself before you because I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God to our fathers. And then he says, I continue this day witnessing to both small and great. You know, that's pointed out as a pretty good speech. You know, Paul says, I'm glad I'm here to defend myself for you because I get to proclaim the word of God. And then we have Jesus, who spake like no other man. When you think of the words of Jesus Christ, what comes to your mind? Sermon on the Mount, the Blesseds, the Beatitudes. I was going to read those, but I don't think I will. But remember all the Blesseds, the words of Jesus Christ, Sermon on the Mount. He also said, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray not as the heathens do. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And on it goes. The words of Jesus Christ. Stop and think how great it would be to hear those words coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. And there were men on earth that did. Wouldn't it be neat to hear those words from Paul? Straight out of his mouth, or Jesus Christ straight out of his mouth. We just, I just did a profile on Wednesday night about Daniel Nathaniel, Barnabas. I'm going to mention Nathaniel here in a few minutes, but my profile was Barnabas. Okay. Barnabas. Got it? And one of the last question on our profile sheet was, what would you like to ask? I'd like to ask Barnabas, what was Paul really like? Because don't you picture Paul's being kind of fiery? You know, I mean, he told the Galatians, he says, you foolish Galatians. He says, how can you fall away so fast? You know, and when he rebuked the Corinthians, he was kind of fiery. And when he rebuked Peter, I picture that he was kind of fiery, you know. But wouldn't it be neat to be there and hear these guys? To actually hear the words they speak? It's one of the things I'd like to see Paul, you know. Be kind of neat, I think. You know, you search all the great literature of the world, all the great sayings, all the great men, and nothing matches the words of Jesus Christ. Nothing surpasses it. Nothing equals it. Nothing matches the word of Christ. John wrote his gospel, and one of the things he wanted to do in that gospel was to let readers share his perception of Jesus Christ. The Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Of whom it was said, we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, of the only begotten from the Father. Glory is defined as exalted praise, honor, and resplendent magnificence. Those are good words. Resplendent magnificence. Kind of rolls right off the tongue. John gave evidence of how greatly Jesus impressed those who came in contact with him. Nathaniel, who said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel was described as a man with what? No guile. A man with no guile, no bitterness, no cynicism, a man with no guile. But yet he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then two verses later, he says, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. From can anything good come out of Nazareth to you are the Son of God. From the testimony of Nathanael to those who were in awe of them when they came to arrest him, who said, never a man spake like this man. The speech of Jesus, his effect on men. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. Where it says, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they ask. I think the King James might use the word wondered at his amazing words. Mine says they were amazed at his amazing words, the words that proceeded out of his mouth. Awe, amazement. And then we go on where it says, Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal thyself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of those, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. From awe to anger in the space of that, the words of Jesus, they were furious. They went from awe in verse 22 to being furious in verse 28. They didn't like the idea that Jesus brought up that the Gentiles had the same favor as the Jews. These two people were Gentiles. He said there were lots of Jews with leprosy, but a Gentile was cured. They didn't like that. You remember what the Jews' attitude was toward the Gentiles. You know, they called them dog. Well, here Jesus called them dogs. Here Jesus is saying they got the same favor of God as you. And they were furious. They went from awe to furious. Okay, Jesus spoke of God. He tells us of God. God the loving Father. John 17. Verses 25 and 6. Righteous Father, he's praying to God here. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make known make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself will dwell in them. Okay, that the love you have for me may be in them. John 3:16, we probably all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in 16 and 27, excuse me, he says, know the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. He's talking to his disciples here. So he talks about the love of God. The scripture tells us that Jesus knew of man. He knew what man was. In John 2, verses 24 and 5, we read, but Jesus would not entrust himself to men, to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. He knew what was in a man, both the possibilities for good and the possibilities for evil. So what did he do? What did he say to man? He encouraged man to do the good. He encouraged men to be good. He said, abide in me. He said, he who doeth the will of my Father. That's the passage that says, not all who call upon me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my Father. And how many times does Jesus in the scripture say to obey? How many times does he say, obey, obey God, abide in me, stay in me, obey my words. Matthew 7 and 21, doeth he who doeth, that's the doeth the will of my Father. Think of the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts. These two verses I'm going to quote here, two of my go-to verses. The Beatitude, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. We have to hunger. He's telling us to be good, and then he's telling us how to be good. You know, he says, be good, abide in me, do the will of my Father, hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, if you say, well, that's all I need to know about that. That's all I need to know about that guy. I don't need to know anymore. That's not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I think we need to dwell on that a little bit every now and then and work at knowing all we can know. You know, we'll never know all there is to know in this book, but we can strive to know all we can. You know, I don't think the attitude needs to be, well, that's all I need to know about that. It's opinion, I guess. Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember the lilies of the field. He clothes them. He feeds the birds, and you're more important than they are. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I use this verse a lot. I think about this verse a lot. And every time I think about it, it brings up to my mind the neighbor I had in Bedford. Old Charlie had sold a business, and he had retired early and built a house across the street from us. And I walked back and forth past his house. He'd be out in the yard. I'd stop and visit with him. He was kind of cantankerous old boy, but I got along with him. And I kind of liked him. And as events unfolded, I remember that he talks about money. You know, he'd bring up, you got to have capital gains, you got to have deductions, you got to have this. And I, you know, I mean, I was 27, 28, 29-year-old kid. I didn't have no money to worry about investing anyway. And I just didn't think much about it. Several years later, we were back in Bedford, and I was talking to a couple of guys, and I said, whatever happened to old Charlie? And one of them said, well, Charlie passed away. And I said, wow, that's too bad. He said, well, he was over at the Mental Health Institute at Clarinda because he worried himself to death about his money. And then I got to thinking, yeah, he always was talking about investments and money and everything. Well, Charlie didn't put the kingdom of God first. You know, we can't let anything get in the way of our salvation. The kingdom of God has to come first. So over and over, he encourages us to be good, and he tells us how to be good. One of the things he mentions, like in Matthew 18 and 23, he says to become as little children. Become as little children. Be innocent. The innocence, not full of guile, not full of cynicism. Be humble, not arrogant like the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees? He rebuked the Pharisees. He was pretty tough on them. Pit of viper, whitewashed walls, a brood of vipers, whitewashed walls. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? What did the Pharisee say? He says, boy, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. I pray three times a day. I do this. I do that. What did the tax collector say? Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Children are ready to soak up knowledge. Like read Luke 18, verses 16 and 17. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Receive the kingdom of God like a little child. That means we need to be ready to soak up the knowledge. Kids are ready to soak up knowledge. That's what we need to be like when it comes to the Word of God. We need to be ready to soak up the knowledge like the kids. I've heard kids be called like a sponge. They're like a sponge because they soak up knowledge. That's the way we need to be. That's what Jesus says, the attitude we need to have. We need to be ready to soak up the knowledge. Matthew 18 and 10, don't despise the little ones. Read Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Okay, he says, if the law of Moses was to be followed, how much greater salvation is in the words of Jesus Christ, who were the words that were confirmed to us by those who heard him. Jesus spoke about faith. He says in Mark 11 and 22, he just flat out says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You can't get more straightforward than that. Have faith in God. In Matthew 17 and 20 is about the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And you can move a mountain. He talked about repentance. Let's go to Mark, first chapter. And verse 15. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent. Turn away from. If you repent of something, you're sorry for it and you turn away from. And he's talking about early Christian church, early Christians who have just heard of the word. Repent from your old life. You know, do what the church tells you, what my words tell you to do. Okay. Let's go Luke 5 verses 31-32. Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've come to call sinners to repentance. He says the time has come. The time is near. He says the church is about to be established. So it's time to change. It's time to turn away. We all know he talked about baptism, John 3 and 5. He talks to Nicodemus. And he says, you got to be born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus says, how can you go back into your mother's womb and be born a second time? You know, if you talk to people who don't believe in baptism, they'll say that's what this verse refers to as natural childbirth. But it's Jesus refuting that. Nicodemus says, you can't do that. And Jesus says, I'm not saying that. He says, I'm saying you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, that's the Great Commission. He tells them to go out into the world making disciples of all nations, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ and the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, teaching them, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 3 and 15, Jesus says he needed to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He spoke of the resurrection. He that believeth in me shall live. He that believeth in me shall not die. God's word to the world, the words of Jesus Christ, they're unique. No other words of man will ever equal the words of Jesus Christ. No other words of man have ever caused such upheaval as the words of Jesus Christ. Remember, never a man spake like this man. And who else had the glory of the only begotten of the Father? The glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Power is given to me from above. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. And remember the Sermon on the Mount. Those are divine words. Words that come from above. And we have to obey them. We have to obey those words if we want to get to heaven. We've got to read them. We've got to study them. We've got to know what they say. And we have to obey them. Never a man spake like this man. One of the things we have to do in obeying the words of God is to be baptized. The words of Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized. Except you be born again of water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So we'll offer the invitation. If you need to become, decided to become a member of the Church of Christ, a member of the Kingdom of God, or if you have something you need to bring before the congregation, whatever the need may be, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.